हरिः ॐ सहना भवतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यङ्करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवसरि गौरभक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Lila, Chapter 22, The Process of Devotional Service, page 25. What appears to be truth without me is certainly my illusory energy, for nothing can exist without me. It is like a reflection of real light in the shadows, for in the light there are neither shadows nor reflections. Wherever there is light, there cannot be darkness. When a living entity becomes Krishna conscious, he is immediately relieved of all material lusty desires. Lusty desires and greed are associated with rajas and tamas, passion and darkness. When one becomes Krishna conscious, the modes of passion and darkness immediately vanish, and then the mode of goodness, sattva-guna, remains. When one is situated in the mode of goodness, he can make spiritual advancement and understand things clearly. This position is not possible for everyone. When a person is in Krishna consciousness, he continuously hears about Krishna, thinks about him, worships him, and serves him as a devotee. If he remains in Krishna consciousness in this way, the darkness of Maya certainly will not be able to touch him. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu continued, The external illusory energy of Krishna, known as Maya, is always ashamed to stand in front of Krishna, just as darkness is ashamed to remain before the sunshine. However, that Maya bewilders unfortunate people who have no intelligence. Thus, they simply boast that this material world is theirs and they are its enjoyers. Srila Prabhupada. The entire world is bewildered because people are thinking, this is my land. America is mine. India is mine. Not knowing the real value of life, people think that the material body and land where it is produced, are all in all. There's even a song in America. This land is your land. This land is my land. Yeah. This is the basic principle behind nationalism, socialism, and communism. Such thinking, which simply bewilders the living being, is nothing but rascalism. That's fine. It is due to the darkness of Maya. But as soon as one becomes Krishna conscious, he is immediately relieved from such misconceptions. This verse is quoted from Srimad Bhagavatam 2.5.13. There is also another appropriate verse in Srimad Bhagavatam 2.7.47. Shasvat prasantam abhayam pratibhodha mataram. Shuddha samam sarasata paramatma tattvam shabdo nayatra puru kara kara kavan kriyarto maya paraya bhimukhe cha vilaj jamana tadvai padam bhagavata paramasya pumso brahmeti yad vidur Ajasra sukham vishokam. What is realized as the absolute Brahman is full of unlimited bliss without grief. That is certainly the ultimate phase of the supreme enjoyer, the personality of Godhead. He is eternally devoid of all disturbances, fearless, completely conscious as opposed to matter, uncontaminated and without distinctions. He is the principal, primeval cause of all causes and effects, in whom there is no sacrifice for fruit of activities, and in whom the illusory energy does not stand. This verse was spoken by Lord Brahma when he was questioned by the great sage Narada. Narada was surprised to see the creator of the universe meditating, for this indicated there might be someone greater than Lord Brahma. While answering the great sage, Lord Brahma described the position of Maya and the bewildered living entities. This verse was spoken in that connection. 2:22:33-39. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu continued, "One is immediately freed from the clutches of Maya if he is seriously and sincerely says, 'My dear Lord Krishna, although I have forgotten you for so many long years in the material world, today I am surrendering unto you. I am your sincere and serious servant. Please engage me in your service.'" End quote. "It is now my vow that," quote, "it is now my vow that if one only once seriously surrenders unto me, saying, 'My dear Lord, from this day I am yours,' and prays to me for courage, I shall immediately award courage to that person, and he will always remain safe from that time on." Footnote 22. This verse from the Ramayana, Yudha Khanda 18:33, was spoken by Lord Ramachandra. "Due to bad association, the living entity desires material happiness, liberation, or merging into the impersonal aspect of the Lord, or he engages in mystic yoga for material power. If such a person actually becomes intelligent, he takes to Krishna consciousness by engaging himself in intense devotional service to Lord Sri Krishna. Whether one desires everything or nothing, or whether he desires to merge into the existence of the Lord, he is intelligent only if he worships Lord Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, by rendering transcendental loving service." Footnote 23. This is a verse from Srimad Bhagavatam 2:3:10, spoken by Srila Sukadeva Goswami. "If those who desire material enjoyment are merging into the existence of the Absolute Truth, engage in the Lord's transcendental loving service, they will immediately attain shelter at Krishna's lotus feet, although they did not ask for it. Krishna is therefore very merciful. Krishna says, 'If one engages in my transcendental loving service, but at the same time wants the opulence of material enjoyment, he is very, very foolish. Indeed, he is just like a person who gives up ambrosia to drink poison. Since I am very intelligent, why should I give this fool material prosperity?'" Right? Means we may be foolish, but the Lord's not. And so therefore, then the Lord will arrange. He'll deal it in such a way that one loses, right, the interest. "Instead, I shall induce him to take the nectar of the shelter of my lotus feet and make him forget illusory material enjoyment." So Krishna is very clever in how he arranges that. Srila Prabhupada. "Those who are interested in material enjoyment are known as bhukti kami. One who is interested in merging into the effulgence of Brahman or perfecting the mystic yoga system is not a devotee at all. Devotees do not have such desires. However, if a karmi, jnani, or yogi somehow contacts a devotee and renders devotional service, Krishna immediately awards him love of God and gives him shelter at his lotus feet. Although he may have no idea how to develop love of Krishna, if a person wants material profit from devotional service, Krishna condemns such material... Krishna condemns such materialistic desires. To desire material opulence while engaged in devotional service is foolish. Although the person may be foolish, Krishna, being all intelligent, engages him in his devotional service in such a way that he gradually forgets material opulence. The point is that we should not try to exchange loving service for material prosperity. If you are actually surrendered to the lotus feet of Krishna, our only desire should be to satisfy Krishna. That is pure Krishna consciousness. Surrender means not that we demand something from the Lord, but that we completely depend on his mercy. If Krishna likes, he may keep his devotee in a poverty-stricken condition, or if he likes, he may keep him in an opulent position. The devotee should not be concerned in either case. He should simply be very serious about trying to satisfy the Lord by rendering him service. 2:22:40-43. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu continued, "Whenever Krishna is requested to fulfill one's desire, he undoubtedly does so, but he does not award anything which, after being enjoyed, will cause one to petition him again and again to fulfill further desires. when one has other desires but engages in the Lord's service, Krishna forcibly gives one shelter at his lotus feet, where one will forget all other desires. Footnote 24. This quotation from Srimad Bhagavatam 5.19.27 was spoken by the Devatas regarding the glories of taking birth in Bharat Varsha. When someone engages in Lord Krishna's devotional service for the satisfaction of the senses and instead acquires a taste for serving Krishna, he gives up his material desires and willingly offers himself as an eternal servant of Krishna. When he was being blessed by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Dhruva Maharaj said, "O my Lord, because I was seeking an opulent material position, I was performing severe types of penance and austerity. Now I have gotten you, who are very difficult for the great demigods, saintly persons and kings to attain. I was searching after a piece of glass, but instead I have found a most valuable jewel. Therefore I am so satisfied that I do not wish to ask any benediction from you." Footnote 25. This is from the Hari Bhakti Shudodaya 7.28. The conditioned souls are wandering throughout the different planets of the universe, entering various species of life. By good fortune, one of these souls may somehow or other be delivered from the ocean of nescience. Just as one of the many big logs in a floating river may by chance reach the bank. Srila Prabhupada. They are unlimited conditioned souls who are bereft of Lord Krishna's service. Not knowing how to cross the ocean of nescience, they are scattered by the waves of time and tide. However, some are fortunate to contact devotees, and by this contact they are delivered from the ocean of nescience, just as a log floating down a river accidentally washes upon the bank. And so it's by Krishna's grace that that happens. It's not that, you know, I'm so qualified and all that. Yes, maybe by Krishna's grace we were somehow or another trying to look for something. We were thinking that there's something more. But the point is the soul, the conditioned soul can't know what's beyond. Krishna himself has to reveal himself. Then only one can know. So this idea that, you know, oh, it's by my qualification I came in contact with Krishna consciousness. No, it says accidentally. It's by Krishna's grace you come in contact. We may have a desire to know what is, but it's that desire that gushes. It's not that our exploits in the process of jnana and all these different things and trying out different kinds of religious functions, that's what gets us. It's because there was an interest in pure devotion, in, you know, knowing the absolute truth. And Krishna gives us an opportunity by bringing us in contact with the devotees. Then, now you can say, if you took that opportunity, now you can say, yes, that was something that you did by Krishna's grace. But it's not that what you did before, that's what made you a devotee. Otherwise, there's plenty of people going around. There's people still now today. Devotees joined so long ago. There's people that from the same time are still going to the yoga studios and dabbling in this and that and so many things. But they're not devotees. So it's not that. So that's why it says, you know, it's by chance. You know? Yes.
How do we understand the concept of purva samskar and also Krishna's verse in the Gita, Yesham Tam Takatam Patam? Prabhupada explained you must have performed some devotional service previously.
Yes.
So you come to Krishna consciousness.
Yes, but it's that's making it work. Not that, yes, I read the Kabbalah and I read the, you know, Quran. And, you know, I went to India and went to all the ashrams and did meditation. That's not why you came to devotional service. You know, I was an intellectual. I was a jnani. I was looking for the absolute truth. You know, because who wants to be the Arta Artarti or Jigyasu, right? Everyone wants to be the jnani. But jnani means you know the Lord, and out of gratefulness, then therefore you serve the Lord. That's the jnani. We may, having come to Krishna consciousness, then we become the jnani. And then from there, we become the Madhyamadikari. But to think that, no, I was the jnani. No, you were inquisitive. If you're reading this, and you're inquisitive. Does that make sense? So that's what I'm talking about. But yes, it is building up of these things. But it's also, if the soul decides to take it seriously, then he may. But generally you see, if the volume's not great, he doesn't. But you can see is sometimes just by the association of the devotees, then so much more comes. So Prabhupada made the point, he made our fortune. So by Agyata Sukriti, we might not have been quite as up to the standard that might have been, needed. But by his association and by his desire, then that increases and we're able to. So that's why it's always put as by the grace of the devotees, rather than, yes, I was so qualified. Is that? Yeah. Because the means that what is working in devotional service for something, we see like Hanuman, he may be very proud of being a servant of Ramachandra, and he exhibits that pride. But that pride that he's exhibiting is not because he's special, it's because Ramachandra is special. And then being engaged in his service, that's special. Therefore, then he shows the prowess of just a servant of Ram by burning down Lanka. You know, destroying the Ashoka garden and burning down Lanka. Then we can understand that. And this is just, you know, of servants, this is just a monkey. You know? So then that puts things in perspective for Ravana, that maybe he should take this Ramachandra more seriously. And everybody tells him that. Even his other 9 heads tell him that. Right? When he has a meeting with all the 10, you know, all the heads, because each one's expert in a different branch of knowledge. Right? So then from their particular branch of knowledge, they show how he should give Sita back. Because there's mechanics. The mechanics work the way they do. You don't follow the mechanics properly, you get a bad result. Taking Sita, that's going to give bad result. So from all the 10 heads, they all nine heads, they all show. But the 10th head, which is, you know, connected with the chitta, you know, his desire, he's not giving back. And so because of that, then he's completely destroyed. Like Duryodhana, everybody tells him, give back the kid. Cooperate with the Pandavas? Like that. He can't. Okay, so we'll give him half the kingdom. At least in that way, then you have your thing, they have theirs, and it's all good. He can't tolerate that. No, he has to have everything. Like that. And they tell him, well, if you don't give back, there'll be war. His thing, no, I'll be successful. Even though we in Karna, Arjuna is 1/16 the portion of myself or Duryodhana. Right? All of them together are defeated by the Gandharvas. Arjuna alone defeats the Gandharvas. Right? And they are saying, the Gandharvas are saying, no, they're nonsense. They're behaving badly. We're going to punish them. But then Arjuna points out, no, I've been sent by Yudhishthira. And so therefore you have to talk with him. And so then the Gandharvas, they come down and talk with Yudhishthira. He explains what view he's using, what's going on, and this and that. And then the Gandharvas say, okay, based on your analysis of the Dharma, we're going to leave it. And then they go, you know. Then when you see it in the battle at Virat, then Karna comes forward, Arjuna defeats him. Right? He goes after Duryodhana, he defeats him. He runs off. He runs off back to the main army. Then Karna comes forward again. He defeats him again. And he has to leave the battlefield. He's unconscious. Right? You know, then Duryodhana comes again, defeated. But you'll see, as every time they talk, they'll say, oh, Arjuna's nothing. We alone, we could defeat him. Every time. So then that's the point, is that the soul has their choice to take... It's so interesting. We're telling a story from Mahabharata, and everyone's like, like that. Start the philosophy, then.
Back to sleeping mode.
Back to sleeping. Yes. Just how you say the absorption. You know, what do you call it? What's that called? Where you
immersion.
Immersion, but the osmosis. You know, just by osmosis, we'll get the. So.
Writing the Mahabharata was a good move. Writing the Mahabharata.
Yes, it was. But if you use it from the standpoint of the first canto Bhagavatam, yeah, then it works. But if you use it without that perspective, then it's pious. It'll make people nice, but then it won't give them love for Krishna.
We should do searches here. As
Sorry?
A break.
As a break, do the Mahabharata. Oh, that's an interesting one. That's interesting. Oh, okay.
We didn't do it.
No, it's it hasn't been part of the... Yeah, there was another course that we had that was Mahabharata. We just designed it for the kids.
Bigger kids?
Bigger kids, okay, bigger kids. Interesting. The point is, we should not try to exchange loving service. Oh no, we were farther down. Conditioned souls are wandering throughout the different planets of the universe, entering various species of life. By good fortune, one of these souls may somehow or other be delivered from the ocean of nescience, just as one of the many big logs in a floating river may by chance reach the bank. Okay, that we did. Okay, and then 2:22, 44-45. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu continued, "Because I am so fallen, I shall never get a chance to see the Supreme Personality of Godhead." End quote. This was my false apprehension. Rather, by chance, a person as fallen as I may get to see the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Although one is being carried away by the waves of the river of time, one may eventually reach the shore. Footnote 26. This verse from Srimad Bhagavatam 10.38.5 was spoken by Akrura. By good fortune, one becomes eligible to cross the ocean of nescience, and when one's term of material existence decreases, one may get an opportunity to associate with pure devotees. By such association, one's attraction to Krishna is awakened. Right, so he's thinking, I am so fallen, I will never get a chance. But then, that's based on my qualification, myself. That I am, I am establishing that, I can get or not get. But no, it's by the grace of the Lord, by chance, personally, that so fall may get the opportunity to see the Lord by associating with the devotees. Then, if when one's term of material existence decreases, one may get an opportunity to associate with pure devotees. So then, coming in contact with those pure devotees, then if one is able to take up the process, then you know that the term of material existence has decreased enough to be able to take advantage. But if have come in contact, you can't, that means your material existence hasn't decreased enough. So by that contact with the devotees, or that little bit of whatever one's doing, I remember one devotee was saying that how he read the Gita, he came across the Gita. He read it, and he was an expert. He's like, yeah, this is what I want to do. And I think there was a restaurant or something around at Govinda's. He went there and that. But then when he saw the particular dealings of a particular devotee, then he thought, well, these aren't, what I was thinking. And so he didn't get involved. He didn't even talk to them and ask, because they had said something. But instead of understanding what they were saying or inquiring, he just took it, he came to a conclusion and walked out. And so then it took some more time. I'm not sure how much time was more. Some more months or something like that before then he was able to come back and see things in the proper life. So just his term of material existence hadn't decreased enough.
Yes. Yes.
Right? And so he mentions that. He mentions that I came in like that, but I wasn't fortunate enough at that time. Because, somebody says something and, you think politically and you interpret it politically and then you go, oh, these guys are political when they were actually just talking some philosophy. Yes. Right? And so then like that, then he... So the point comes down is that, no, it's by the Lord's grace. It's not because of our... we're qualified.
Yes.
It's that by Krishna's grace, then we're able to come in contact. So this material existence, by that agyata sukriti, it's reduced, and we get to come in contact, and then we can take advantage.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So.
Yes, if we wanna see the qualification of the devotees, four kinds of devotees, those who come to Krishna, pious people.
Yes.
From the Gita in the 8th canto, it is described. Gajendra is the first. Then the demigods churning the ocean.
Okay.
They want
the Artarti, yes.
Yeah, they want their position back.
Right, right.
Then Shiva asking the Lord, okay, show me that beautiful form of Mohini.
Okay.
I'm inquisitive, I want to see. And Krishna says, better not. He says, no, no, it's okay.
That's why he said, may or may not know.
So that's the Surat. And then the Satyavrata is the force, he's the real Gyani. And of course, Bali Maharaj, he's a pure devotee, but that's a different category.
Okay.
So if you want to look at qualification, those who come, those are the four examples.
Okay, nice, nice. Yeah. Srila Prabhupada. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains this point. Is this bhagya, fortune, the result of an accident or something else? In the scriptures, devotional service and pious activity are considered fortunate. Pious activities can be divided into three categories. Pious activities that awaken one's dormant Krishna consciousness are called bhaktyun mukhi sukriti. Pious activities that bestow material opulence. Pious activities that bestow material opulence are called bhogon mukti sukriti, and pious activities that enable the living entity to merge into the existence of the stream are called mokshon mukti sukriti. These last two awards of pious activities are not actually fortunate. Pious activities are fortunate when they help one become Krishna conscious. The good fortune of Bhaktyun Mukhi is attainable only when one comes in contact with the devotee. By associating with the devotee willingly or unwillingly, one advances in devotional service, and thus one's dormant Krishna consciousness is awakened. Right? So, we will take it that the person has come to Krishna consciousness, you know, by this good fortune. So we'll see them as fortunate. But they themselves will see it. It's only by the grace of the Lord and the devotees, not by my qualification. Does that make sense? Yeah.
In the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya, when he goes everywhere and gives freely love of Godhead, you know, he deals with villagers and people in towns, and they instantly take up the devotional service.
Yes.
And even get pure bhakti.
Yes.
Now the underlying statement of that is many of these people who are outwardly simple, they're actually demigods who've been building up their pious credit so that they take opportunity of Lord Chaitanya to come so they can finish their business.
Yes, you could definitely, there would be that aspect. There's also just by the will of the Lord,
right,
that he desires and they go. Like it's said that when Lord Chaitanya then wound up his pastimes, all the living entities in the universe at that time all went back to Godhead. Right? And so then they, you know, but then we'll say, as well, the universe would be empty. No, there's that many living entities. So they just fill it up from, you know, there's unlimited of the universe. So just fill it up, you know, no problem. So by his will also there's there. So again, we have to see there's a balance. Because otherwise they will say, it's only by their qualification. No, the Lord has his will. Then he says, well, how come he's not willing for us? You know, sorry, get it together. You know, because he wills that we make that endeavor. So how it all works, that's beyond our understanding. And so therefore, we don't need to get into it more than what the acharyas reveal. And that much is being revealed, so that much we try to understand. Because for us, if we're humble, then we're naturally not qualified. If by the Lord's mercy and the devotees, then we get some qualification, then that's special. You know, so what it is, because you see there's all kinds of groups, just like with the gopis. There's the ones that descend with the Lord, there's the demigods that come, there's the sages at Naimisharanya, there's individuals like that, you know, so they can be any of these kind of things, and they're all then coming forward. Now, who takes it more seriously or not, then that's going to still be up to the individual to take advantage. So the point is, as pointed out here, that, you know, we're thinking, oh, we're so unqualified we can never go back to Godhead. But by the grace of the Lord and the devotees, we can. So it pointed out, Akuro, he was thinking like this. And then he thinks, but, you know, in other words, on my own, it's not going to happen. It's only by the grace of the Lord and the devotees. Then it can happen. So, thus, by associating with a devotee willingly or unwillingly, one advances in devotional service, and thus one's dormant Krishna consciousness is awakened. Because otherwise it's also, you get this kind of more woke mentality where you have this thing, oh no, it has to be willingly, and they have to be impressed by us, you know, that we're so socially and intellectually and culturally so fabulous that everybody wants to come and hang out with us and all that. But the point is no, it's that the devotees give the opportunity. Someone's willing or not. Some people like it when the Harinam goes by. Some people don't. But every day the devotees go by, the heart gets purified that little bit more. Until one day then they don't mind. And then they start to appreciate. So it doesn't matter. This idea is that, you know, we have our culture, we have our, you know, our etiquette. We follow that. Then how can any gentleman be disturbed? If they're disturbed, they're not a gentleman. They're not human. They're not acting on human platform of culture and consciousness. Right? So therefore, then, we follow what we do because it's Krishna's universe. It's not their universe. We're dealing with that. It's their place, and we have to please them. No. They have to please Krishna. We have to please Krishna. So if we're pleasing Krishna by that association, then they'll be able to please Krishna. One has to actually know whose universe it is. Does that make sense? Yeah. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu continued. 2:22, 46-51. O my Lord, O infallible Supreme Person, when a person wandering throughout the universes becomes eligible for liberation from material existence, he gets an opportunity to associate with devotees. When he associates with devotees, his attraction for you is awakened. You are the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the highest goal of the topmost devotees, and the Lord of the universe. Footnote 27. This is a quotation from Srimad Bhagavatam 10:51-53. Krishna is situated in everyone's heart as the Chaita Guru, the spiritual master within. When he is kind to some fortunate conditioned soul, he personally gives him lessons so he can progress in devotional service, instructing the person as the super soul within and the spiritual master without. O my Lord, transcendental poets and experts in spiritual science could not fully express their indebtedness to you, even if they were endowed with a prolonged lifetime of Brahma, for you appear in two features, and externally as the Acharya and internally as the super soul, to deliver the embodied living being by directing him how to come to you. Footnote 28. This verse from Srimad Bhagavatam 11:29-6 was spoken by Uddhava after he had been instructed in yoga by Sri Krishna. By associating with a devotee, one awakens his faith and devotional service to Krishna. Because of devotional service, one's dormant love for Krishna awakens. Right? So by associating, it's about the faith and devotional service. So that's the main thing. If you can create a very nice environment for that, that's always nice. But it's not the environment that creates it, because otherwise those environments are there all over the planet. Right? But it's not. It's not that when people walk into the Louvre that they suddenly become interested in Krishna consciousness, because it's such a nice arrangement. Right? It's about associating with devotees. But if people like nice arrangements, you make as nice as you can. You try to be, you make it as comfortable as you can. But the point is it's the association of the devotees that will be the effect. That's the point. It's not that, oh, this will give some. No, but we just want to bring him to goodness. Why? If then everybody would be, all the rich people would all be in goodness, because their houses are nice, they have a nice car, they only go to nice places, they stay in nice places, they talk with other nice people. they would all be in the mode of goodness and therefore very ready for devotional service, right? But it's not working. Right? So that's the point, is one has to see that what's making it work is something else other than these things. You can make nice arrangements, but you have to. It's without the devotional service, it will not have effect. Right? And even these nice arrangements, they're still in passion and ignorance. Right? So we're talking about passion and ignorance. We're talking about the ones that are in that situation. Who's not in that situation, those very nice, wealthy, nice material, they're in the mode of ignorance. No passion. Right? It's because of that passion they've gotten these nice facilities. So it's not, we have to know what's working here. By associating with the devotee, one awakens his faith in devotional service to Krishna. Because of devotional service, one's dormant love for Krishna awakens, and thus one's material conditioned existence comes to an end. Quote, somehow or other, if one is attracted to talks about me and has faith in the instructions I have set forth in the Bhagavad Gita, if one is neither falsely detached from material things nor very much attached to material existence, his dormant love for me will be awakened by devotional service. Footnote 29. This verse from Srimad Bhagavatam 11:28 was spoken by Uddhava to Krishna at the time of his departure from this material world. Unless one is favored by a pure devotee, one cannot attain the platform of devotional service. To say nothing of Krishna bhakti, one cannot even be relieved from the bondage of material existence. Right? So you can only get, by the grace of devotees, you can only get devotional service. And only by that you can even get relief from, get liberation.
Yes.
So the concept that I'm going to enjoy the material world, I'm going to liberation, even that only comes by those in contact with devotional service.
How do we qualify favor? Being favored by a devotee?
It means, it says by a pure devotee. So what would that favor be? It would be free from karma and jnana.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Like that. Someone else, it might be slightly different, you know. Mm-hmm. So that makes sense, you know. You know, it means, in other words, do we just pour the cream in the top, or do we make the little design first and then give it to you? You know, so not that kind of favor.
Now, I was thinking in terms of favor is that the devotee comes forward to engage a person, to give them prasadam, to make them chant. That's a favor.
Yes. But just any kind of association. Point is, it's an association. So even in associating with them, that they're going to, you know, be favorably disposed like that. They're going to, you know, hope for your benefit or try to explain things, or, because someone may be in such a way they don't, and so then how much you can gain like that. So you means they may on their own still be favorable. Like Prahlad Maharaj is favorable towards his father, though his father, you can't say his father was, you know, the ideal you know, example of parenthood, you know. So, but the point is still he was favorably disposed towards him. But that's their glory. You can't expect that or demand that. So that's why then there's pranipata pariprashna seva. It means you have that inquisitive nature, therefore Krishna gives you the opportunity, but then you have to inquire and try to apply. Then you get the benefit. Right? Does that make sense? You know, then you get the benefit. So one has to see that you have to make the endeavor. So, because you can say, well, is it this or is it that? But the point is it's both simultaneously. That's the point of the philosophy. Is you have one way, Krishna has another way of looking at it. So therefore, they're both correct. It's all Krishna. But at the same time, as an individual, we can therefore serve Krishna. So both these aspects are there. You know, so this demand, it has to be this or has to be that, no. Because as soon as it has to be this or has to be that, means there's a different perspective we're not seeing. Because that perspective where both of them can function, or you're emphasizing this because of this situation, but another situation you emphasize the other, that's that we're missing. Is that... Yeah. Srila Prabhupada, devotional service can be attained only by the mercy of a pure devotee. Without a pure devotee's mercy, one cannot even escape the bondage of material existence. The word Mahat in this verse means a pure devotee, as Lord Krishna confirms in the Bhagavad Gita 9:13. Mahat manas tumam partha daivim prakritim ashrita bhajanti ananya manaso gyatva bhutadim avyayam. O son of Prita, those who are not deluded, the great souls, are under the protection of the divine nature. They are fully engaged in devotional service because they know me as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, original and inexhaustible. One has to associate with such a Mahatma, who has accepted Krishna as the supreme source of the entire creation. Without being a Mahatma, one cannot understand Krishna's absolute position. A Mahatma is rare and transcendental. He is a pure devotee of Lord Krishna. Foolish people consider Krishna a human being, and they consider Lord Krishna's pure devotee an ordinary human being also. Whatever one may be, one must take shelter at the lotus feet of a devotee, Mahatma, and treat him as the most exalted well-wisher of all human society. We should take shelter of such a Mahatma and ask for his causeless mercy. Only by his benediction can one be relieved from attachment to the materialistic way of life. When one is thus relieved, he can engage in the Lord's transcendental loving service through the mercy of the Mahatma. So, we have to understand is that whatever is going on in the world is only going on by the grace of the devotees. So technically, you know, just like it says, you can't get liberation, so that means these persons are there, unless they've been benedicted by a devotee, they can't get. Right? So it says, you know, what to speak of this, and then when you're speaking about liberation, then that automatically means karma is involved. Right? So that means without devotional service and this association of devotees, nothing's working in this material world. Just that we don't connect that back. You know, we don't see it. So we're not understanding what is going on, what's the effect, what we're actually working with. Does that make sense? We're thinking is that, yeah, there's the material world that's going on, it has its scene, and then there's this bhakti thing. You know, and it's nice and get out of here, but the material world has its own scene. That's like the prisoners thinking we have our own culture, our own scene, we make it all run and all that. No, the government makes it run. They amongst themselves have their social order and pecking order and who gets what and who can take somebody else's, you know, piece of bread and not get any problem, and who, if they sit at the wrong table, then he's in trouble. You know, they make all these rules. You know? So in their world it appears to, but in reality, no. It's all going on, the government's taking care of. Like that, because they're trying to reform and all this and that, because the government wanted, they just, you know, turn everything off, close the doors, and just let everyone sit there for a few days. Right? They used to do that in Russia, right? Some people are agitated and this and that, then, you know, they had all the buildings are all in a line. And the electricity is all in a line. So you can at one point turn off, and all these apartment buildings, no electricity or no water. Let them sit like that for a few days. Then, you know, then you come and they're able to, you know, they're all being nice and that. You turn everything back on and everybody's happy. You know? So the point is we're taking it, no, we're the one that's making all this happen. But in reality, no, it's bhakti is making everything happening. But the point is since they're not interested in pure devotion or in serving the Lord in that way, therefore the effects, you just get the material piety. Like that. So anybody who's best, you know, what's it? Suchinam, isn't it? That verse when, you know, the next birth, they take birth in families of religious or yeah, you know, religious, wealthy, well-situated families. How did they get there? Because the heavenly planets, then you have to follow the Vedas. How are you following the Vedas and getting effect? There has to be some element of bhakti there. Even though it may be temporary, you're not thinking about it from pure devotion. So that means anybody who's in that, they've already had that position. And then we're tiptoeing around like they're the ones that not. No, okay. Point is, as if the guys living on the rougher neighborhoods of the town take up devotional service, why can't the rich ones? They're more pious. They've done more devotional service. They have more agyata sukriti. Does that make sense? So the whole point is we have to understand the world runs because bhakti's there. Karma and jnana cannot give their effects without bhakti. Right? But they're not following it to please the Lord. They're not seeing it in that context. So they're performing the activities of bhakti. You know, that dedication, that focus, that patience, that determination. All the qualities that we use in devotional service and endeavors, they're using it for their material things, their karma or jnana. That's why they're getting the result. If they endeavor without all that, do they get anything? Right? I mean, if you read a self-help book, what are they talking about? Yeah, you have to do is that you want it and then it'll automatically be there. You know? Keep sitting on your sofa there, your lounge chair like this, and occasionally go and open the door to the garage and, you know, keep checking whether those millions of dollars are sitting there in your garage. No, they're talking about making an endeavor with all these good qualities. They'll always mention. Some may put more on mechanics, some may give more on qualities. The ones that do more qualities, generally theirs works, you see, is they get more results and their system lasts longer. Right? Because the other ones, then, you have to make an endeavor. You have the one, what is it? Desire. You know, law of attraction. You know, but after a while, I've been desiring, nothing's coming, so they're going to move to another system. Because it's not showing that you necessarily do anything, or if there are, they're showing what you're doing. So it's doing something is there. Is that with the other thing? So you have to apply these qualities. You have to perform the activities. You know? Does that make sense? So that's the whole point. If you check, these things are not what the devotees would do. And we're thinking, oh no, we have to follow them. No, they have to follow us. And we are following the acharyas. Does that make sense?
In other words, if it wasn't for the Sankirtan movement, the world would be much bigger than it is now.
Yes. Prabhupada mentioned, only because there's devotees and that in the Sankirtan mission, that there were fruits and flowers. And he was saying in the 60s. You know, if now you look back at the different shows and stuff that were going on in the 60s, and they were being a little bit, you know, racy and stuff like that, you know, and stuff, you know, like that. We think, you know, these are like kid stuff compared to what goes on now. And so back then, there would have been, they were so sinful, there would be no fruits or flowers. He said, they're only here because of devotees. So let alone. Yeah, that's it. If it wasn't for that, then, I mean, basically you remove the Sankirtan movement, and then you have, what are those called? Morlocks. You know Morlocks? No?
I know the word, but...
The time machine?
Yeah.
The guy, by accident, something happens and he goes so far into the future. And then he gets out and there's these godly-like people, and then there's these little short guys, like Bhagavatam talks, these 3 foot tall that eat people. And then they eat those guys. But what they missed the point is, no, that at the beginning that it was like that, then there were no more of those people, now they just eat each other, right? You know, but they didn't quite get to that, you know, close, but, you know, not quite. So that's the end of Kali Yuga means there's no devotional service. That's what it looks like. You know, it's just like it's been pointed out, is when you had the Dark Ages, right? Nothing much going on. I mean, they call it Dark Ages because nothing significant happens. The guy, you know, the season came, he plowed his field, he planted his crops, he went out there, he weeded it, you know, he harvested it, you know, he kept something like that, then he ground some, he made some bread, he made it through the winter like that, you know, like that, and then the next season came, he did, and that's what they did for hundreds of years. So nothing much to document. But you see, when Lord Chaitanya appeared and his associates appeared, then suddenly, out of nowhere, Renaissance. Where would that come from? Why would that come? What's the point? What physical thing happened that you can say it just happens? Or you just have these guys that are just around, you know, something out of one of these, what do you call it? These, yeah, just complete gross materialists. No interest in spiritual at all, like that. Then Prabhupada sets foot on America, and suddenly now you have the hippies. The peace and love, and like this, giving up everything. It's just like that, same time. You know, it's just, these things are there. Without the devotees, there is nothing. It's God's world. You know, you need to adjust the words of the song a bit.
Given the pandemic, there's huge opportunities for the devotees, for association, for preaching.
Yeah. So
clean the place a little bit.
Yeah. Means there's no unfavorable time for being engaged in devotional service. And like Prahlad Maharaj, it didn't matter if he was, you know, hanging out with the snakes, hanging out with the elephants, you know, getting an intimate look at, you know, how you say, the deep frying process, you know, any of these things. He's just absorbed in Krishna consciousness. So that's the specialty, is that devotional service doesn't have any problem. Like Prabhupada, devotees are always, it means they always were worried about the war, you know, like that, and always talking about that, and it's always a big thing, and like that. And Prabhupada explains, why are you worried about that? He says during World War II, because he was in Allahabad, and said during World War II, the Gaudiya Mathe there, they never had such a good time. Because of the war, people were more thoughtful, so they came and would give things to the temple. Well, before that, they had more stuff, and they were, you know, using it all for themselves. But here, then they thought, well, we should be more religious. So they had more, they had greater opulence during the war than they had not during the war. You know, so that's the whole point. You know, so they're going to be careful with that. So. For the devotees, Krishna takes care. That's why I mentioned before that Lama Ramachandra is sending. Someone says, you know, from this day forward I'm yours, then Krishna takes care. You know, but it says he's going to take care in such a way that the material desires of the devotee don't increase. Because otherwise, sometimes by getting something, it increases. So it has to be done in such a way that you wanted something, but you can't get it. And then finally you get it, but it's under a situation that's not favorable. You know, it's just like, you know, I'd really like to, you know, yeah, I could eat the whole maha plate and this and that, yeah, this and that, and trying to get and this and that, but no, it's booked for this, it's booked for that. Then finally one day they go, hey, you know, no one's booked tonight, you want the plate? But that's the day that, you know, you ate, you know, a ton at lunch and all that, and you're not hungry at all, or, you know, sick, you know, it's that you get. You know, so Krishna arranges that whatever you want, you get, but it's in such a way that it won't increase the material mentality. So Krishna is very expert. Or you may get it and then immediately something falls apart, or you get it and then something else comes up and then, you know, how you say, takes all your thunder. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I was thinking of what you were reading previously about the material desires of the devotees and how Krishna takes everything. It takes a fair amount of maturity for Krishna to trust the devotee to handle the material energy successfully and engage it back in Krishna's service without the devotee being bewildered.
Yes. Yes, but if they want to be bewildered, then that also is an opportunity. Like, you know, like Prabhupada is pointing out that some people want to go to hell really fast. So in the material world, you know, it's a one-on-one thing. You do this much nonsense, you get this much results. So, you know, going to hell can be slow. You know, even though you got a great bucket, it can still be a slow ride. Right? But, he says, if you come to the Dham, now you can offend the devotees and doubt devotional service like that. You could go 1,000 times quicker. So you do have individuals who, they're grumpy there, but then they come to the Dham, and then they can really get off track. So that's their desire. So then Krishna, because Prabhupada points out that for Krishna as Paramatma, he's always trying to convince you not to do all the nonsense we want. But if we're insistent, then he'll say, okay, you know, at your own risk, then here it is. So then you sometimes you'll see is that, like you said, those who are more mature, they can take it and use it. But then at the same time, as if there's material desire, if they're not careful, then that can come up and create problem. Though in the beginning you don't see it, but if they're not careful, because the weeds will grow. So if they're taking care of the weeds, then everything goes nicely. And at the same time, is then, you know, sometimes it doesn't. So it's very individual. So the prescriptions are given, then we as individuals have to take it. And then we also as an individual try to help whoever we can, try to appreciate it. You know, so that they can, in such a way that they can use it. So, yeah. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu continued, O King Rahugana, without taking upon one's head the dust from the lotus feet of a pure devotee, a Mahatma or a Mahajana or a Mahatma, one cannot attain devotional service. Devotional service is not possible to attain simply by undergoing severe austerities and penances, by gorgeously worshipping the deity, or by strictly following the rules and regulations of the sannyasa grihastha order. Nor is it attained by studying the Vedas, submerging oneself in water, or exposing oneself to fire or scorching sunlight. Now, this is what we were mentioning before, is that you can do all these nice pious activities, but without the connection with the pure devotees, then it doesn't give result. It may be a very good position to start from, so if you come in contact, you're already engaged in something so nice that you can very easily bring forward into devotional service. Right? But it itself won't give devotional service. So you can't say, but before, you know, my activities before, that brought me to devotional service. No. Okay. That. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Shri Prabhupada ki jai.